Blog Talk Radio.
It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the Happy Isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides, and though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory, if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island. Whatever the cost may be, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Coming down the road. We're coming across the airways. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. And tonight the banner for the show is English Defence League radio show, Wellington, here we come. 16th of March. Got a lot to talk about tonight, though, guys. I'll just read out a little statement. I've got to thank Dave. I saw something that's having a few issues, and Dave put the script together, and he managed to get one slide. We were just having issues. In fact, we didn't know, I mean, myself and Dave didn't know until later on, that Facebook had been down, and Instagram, a lot of people have lost Instagram anyway, had been attacked as well. So there's people out there don't know Facebook by the looks of it. So there you go. That's why me and Dave was having a few issues. But anyway, welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, that's me, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Our panellists this evening are Jan the Tornado Rennie, which unfortunately Jan can't join us this evening as she's away on assignment. And of course, Dave Agdor Milner. Excitement grows as the buzz intensifies for our national demonstration in Wellington on the 16th of March. Tonight we will be discussing our demo along with other important topics such as Brexit. Yeah, lots to say about that. The latest in Islam's war against the civilized world, and the case being brought against craven authorities by author, journalist and founder of the English Defence League, Mr. Tommy Robinson. We wish all of our foot soldiers, angels, patriots and supporters of the cause Godspeed to Wellington. This is your voice, so please call in. No surrender ever. And without a further ado, let me pass it to Mr. Dave Agador Milner. Good evening, my dear friend. How are you this... I don't know what the weather's like there. I hope you're well, my old mate.
It's a little better over here, Jeff. A little warmer. Good evening to everybody in the UK, and good afternoon to everybody in the States, and hello to everyone around the world and off Earth, of course. Yes, well, Jeff, I just want to make a small correction. well, I kind of have a little bit of egg on our faces. We will have something from the EDL website, which I'm going to get you to read, on the Wellington demonstration. See, when we looked for Wellington a few shows ago, we saw that it was near Cardiff. But evidently, no, that's not it. It's the Wellington that's near Telford. I didn't know there was a Wellington near Telford, but there's a Wellington near Telford, which that makes a lot more sense.
Yes, it does. Of course it does, Dave. Because this is sort of the heart of where all this rape jihad is going on with our children, isn't it, Dave?
You got it, Jeff. Yeah.
Because don't you hate the word that they brought this word grooming. I don't know how anybody could use the word grooming where it goes abusing young children. But then I suppose we, in this country, we live in a time where we're surrounded. Westminster's full of paedophiles. Houses of Parliament are full of paedophiles. The BBC's running. It's like lice all over the place, Dave.
Hollywood's the same, Jeff. And I'll bet you half of Washington is the same, too, brother. I'll bet you half of Washington is the same, too.
We know it is, but, Dave. We've heard of their special parties that they had, and me and you've often talked about them, haven't we, Dave? You know,
yeah, Pizzagate, brother.
Boys having their parties and going away to these Brian Epstein's, this island, isn't it? The island of sex where those young children were being abused. Bill Clinton, a 13-year-old kid, was raped, ladies and gentlemen. They don't hear much about that. They try to cover that up, but we all knew about it, didn't we, Dave? Every single one of us, we know. And a time's going to come. I mean, a lot of us, we're risking our lives. When we talk about these things, we are putting our lives on the line. But I'll be bugging if I'm going to be in living fear of those people going to try and top me, or send dark people with dark coats to try and destroy me or my friends. We're not scared of ya. We're not scared of ya. And am I right, Dave? That is the truth. Yeah. We're not scared of them.
Well, you know what,
someone's got to speak. Someone's got to speak on behalf of these kids. Someone's got to do it.
Exactly. It's God's work, and we are not afraid. Yeah, it is God's work, brother, and we are not afraid. You know, we're not afraid.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty dangerous. A while ago, one of our demonstrations, you know that. I mean, I think Tommy was with us back then. It was on the way to Dewsbury to blow us up in the EDL. The leadership, they're trying to assassinate the leadership back in the day. And a lot of them guys that was involved in it, that was who they were trying to get Tommy to be killed by. They were setting it up so they would kill him.
That's what they're trying to do. They can't afford to have it done in the open, so they're going to try and slide it in another way,
yeah.
So, but you know, that's the thing, Jeff. Yeah, you had something you wanted. You had something you wanted to read involving Brexit.
My mind is whizzing ahead today, Dave. So sometimes, you know, I just jump over things accidentally, you know, and I was waiting for you to give me a little bit of a heads up, because I was racing away. You know what I'm like, Dave? I'm like a runaway train sometimes, and you know that, mate.
Jeff.
So do our listeners.
You wanted to cover this, but, you know, right after we did our greetings, and I really like it, so... Go ahead, brother. Guys, this Jeff wrote this himself, okay? You know, so Jeff, you know, the floor, my friend, is yours, as always.
Well, thank you, Dave. I'm very nervous. I read this, probably it's about 2 hours ago. I'm sitting here. You've probably all heard of the shambles, the betrayal, the total betrayal of 17.5 million people. As to say, I was sitting there and I couldn't be bothered to listen to what these MPs or anybody was saying, because they're all traitors, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I've no faith in any of them. I never have done. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it, and I'm seeing a few comments from people. And I don't know how upset people are. And, so I decided that I'd put a few words on the Facebook page. So, okay. Today, as I look around the betrayal of our Brexit, of which 17.5 million of us voted, the politicians was just there on our behalf to make sure it was given to us, the people. The worst thing any one of us did was to put any faith into politicians delivering our Brexit. This has to be the worst constitutional crisis for hundreds of years. I believe that Parliament should be dismissed, possibly by the Queen. And those who created this constitutional crisis should be arrested and put on trial for treason. This is the only way to prevent civil unrest. In hoc signo vinces. Thank you, Dave, and I'll pass it back to you. It's,
all right, brother. Yeah.
Quite thought provoking, well, isn't it? So when you look at it like that and you read it, it really comes home to you, buddy. It really comes home.
It does. It does, man. You know, and guys, we're going to swivel back to the demonstration, but Jeff has started it off with what he wrote, and I figured, Jeff, we'll go ahead and get right into the story, because a lot of people may not know what happened, but, you know, I think I think it's worth it to you know, to kind of clue them in completely. You know, there's definitely been a betrayal. I'm going to give you the story there in the Skype, brother. Okay, so you should have it momentarily. And I'm going to go ahead and read this, man. This is Farm Fresh, okay? It is, okay. Just going to check on something real quick here. I heard a noise. Oh, okay, there we go. All right, okay. Always have to check when you hear a noise, Jeff. All right, brother. Yeah, okay. Now, this is by Tim Sculthorpe, Deputy Political Editor for the Mail Online, and by David Wilcock, Whitehall correspondent for the Mail Online. And this is Farm Fresh from today, people. So all the stuff we've been waiting on, decisions and whatnots involving Brexit, here we go. Okay, let me get to here to this world. Okay. Laughing May wins showdown and will now try to force her Brexit deal through a third time before asking the EU to extend Article 50 for 12 weeks if her plan passes, or up to, get ready for it, guys, 2 years if it's blocked. Okay, now I'm going to hit the subheads here. All right, Speaker John Bercow has selected four amendments to to Theresa May's motion on delaying Brexit tonight. MPs have voted to reject a second referendum. That's at least one small bit of good news, after the Labour Party and People's Vote deserted the move. That was a story earlier on, guys, and you can find it in the Daily Mail today if you look quickly, because they do tend to change the stories fast. But I'll continue with the next bullet point. The most significant amendment is to stage indicative votes on what kind of Brexit Parliament would back. All right, the next one is the votes are all part of a crucial build-up to the EU Council next week, when May will ask for a delay to Brexit. And this is the last one. Donald Tusk will urge EU leaders to agree a quote, long extension, end quote, to Article 50 to give Britain time to, quote, rethink, end quote. That just pisses me off right there immediately, Jeff. And I'm not even from the UK. All right, I'm gonna read this article and try and control my temper up in here. I said, Brexit is set to be delayed from March 29 after MPs voted 412 to 202 in favor of extending Article 50 tonight. All right, Theresa May appears certain to have a third attempt to get her Brexit deal agreed by MPs early next week, but whatever happens, we'll ask the EU for more time at a summit next Thursday. All right. If her deal does finally get agreed by MPs, she will ask for a three-month extension. And if it does not, we'll seek to agree a longer delay, potentially of up to 2 years. All EU countries must agree unanimously and could attach conditions. Okay. After a shattering week of defeat and embarrassment, tonight the Prime Minister won a series of votes tonight. Well, that's great grammar, guys. To underline her strategy. But she did not escape without deep new splits in her cabinet after Mrs. May was forced to give Tories a free vote on delay. The government defeated by 314 to 312, a cross-party amendment from Labour's Hillary Benn and Yvette Cooper, no shock there, with Tory Oliver Letwin, wanted to cancel government business next Wednesday. The PM only won because 6 Labour and 4 independent MPs voted against the Remainer plot. Mrs. May then won a vote on delaying Brexit beyond March 29, 412 to 202. There's 412 traitors right there, guys. Any delay will still have to be agreed by the European Union. You notice the people aren't in that. But anyway, we can continue. MPs earlier voted against a second referendum, crushing it 334 to 85. That is quite a crush there, in the first common contest on the idea. That's only the first one, though, guys. As I scroll down, don't think that the whole second referendum, razzmatazz is out of the picture. Now I continue. Talks ahead of the third meaningful vote are focused on using the 1969 Vienna Convention to tweak legal advice, but few think Mrs. May can bring 75 rebels back to the fold and overturn Tuesday night's shattering 49 vote defeat. Brexit rebels are incandescent. They're using the big words now. With the government, after Remain ministers abstained last night to let a motion ruling out no deal forever pass by 43 votes. Now that's a, now I want to read that again. All right. Now this was, I'm going to read this again, guys. Brexiteer rebels are incandescent with the government after Remain ministers abstained last night to let a motion, get ready for it, guys, ruling out no deal forever pass 43 votes. Last night, the Prime Minister told Parliament she must have clarity on what it will support before she meets EU leaders in Brussels next Thursday. Why? Mrs. May has said if MPs have backed a deal, she will ask for a short technical extension that postpones Brexit to the end of June. If they want a more fundamental change of tack, she will ask for much more time. Right. EU leaders must agree unanimously to the terms of delay, and Britain will not get a vote on the decision at the summit. Okay, now I'm going to scroll down a little bit here, down past some pictures of some idiots. Okay, and looking at the time here, I'm going to go ahead and make an executive decision, Jeff, and that's basically the article right there. There's more to it, but I'm not going to read the whole thing because we do have other things to do. I just want to get your, or, you know, let's you know, get your reaction to start with, and then have mine.
Yeah, well, everything just went over me there because I'm not interested in what they had to say. I'll be honest with you, Dave, it's just gooblygooch to me. I look at it this way. The people, the Brexiteers, will be turning up on the 29th of March. And we're going to march on Parliament. We're going to march on the House of Commons. And we want our Brexit. If you don't deliver our Brexit, we will ask the Queen to dismiss this government until after the 29th of March. So it doesn't matter what all this voting here, voting for that. It's not them. It's not them who we sort of went to the ballot box and voted for. We didn't vote for them to do what they're doing. We voted out, meaning out. So, Dave, when you read that story, I was really not listening. I'm not interested in what they got to say. None of us have now. The time for talking with these idiots is over. It's time that we took our country back the way it should be. Our sovereignty is worth more than any two-pence politician because they're all rubbish. You know, and we need the Queen. We need the Queen to dismiss Parliament. We need to do that to get her to do it. So after Brexit Day on the 29th of March, and then at 11 p.m., then let the Queen once again get people together to form a government, a people's government for the people. That's what I'm saying. What they've done is totally unconstitutional. They've gone against democracy. You go against democracy, this is basically civil war. You've gone against the will of the people, Dave. It'd be the same in your country. They go against the will of your people. What would happen in your country, brother? What would
be going
on?
They're already doing it, man.
Yeah,
it's already happening.
That's what I'm saying. May and all you people out there, you ones, you absolute despicable, horrible people, you paedophiles out, you think we're just going to roll over? You think us commoners are just going to roll over and take it? Really, truthfully, you haven't planned this out very well, have you? Because, my goodness me, there was a wrath coming. There was a wrath coming. And, my God, it doesn't matter who you put on the streets. Doesn't matter how many thousand you stick on the streets to stop us. There's millions of us. Millions and millions of us. If you think you can stop that, we're going to nuke us. Hey, you're going to nuke us? Then what do you achieve there, eh? Absolutely nothing. But we will have our Brexit. You will not go against the will of the people of this country, the nation, its people. We just absolutely despise every state. I've never felt so angry about politicians in my life. To me, they're just a bunch of wankers, mate. I've always said to you, Dave, you know the way I feel about them.
Yeah, you know,
the only person I hold in deep respect is Gerald Button, who actually said the words I said about, asking the Queen to dismiss Parliament. He said exactly the same words as I said. So, as I say, great minds think alike. I think this is the only way. Stop the bloodshed. But I still know there's going to be thousands upon thousands of people on the streets. And the old bill out there, boy, you are the ones who's helping, the problems we've got in this country, and also acting like SS Nazis. And I've seen it all again today. I see what you like, frame people in police fans for speaking out, speaking up, arrest people for nothing. We've seen it time again. Your times of this total decadence of them. Just following orders, sir. Just following orders, yes. And so did Hitler's generals, and so did those people who worked in the concentration camps. They all followed orders.
Yeah, so did Eichmann. Look what happened to him.
We don't forget that. We never will forget.
Exactly.
Just following orders. That doesn't cut anything with us now. You've really gone up against. You pushed us to the limit now. Maybe that's what you want. You want to create civil strife on our streets, and it will flow. It'll let them flow. The whole country will go up in flames all through you lot. Do you think we want war on our streets? But what can we do apart from looking to the Queen, ask the Queen, please, Your Highness, do your job for the country. We beg you. We beg you to do the job before we, the people, have got to do what none of us want to do. To battle on the streets, to fight for what's right, fight for democracy and freedom, what our ancestors fought for, what soldiers going over in our foreign countries, fighting and dying to preserve. We, the people. I hope the troops come back and they help us, because we need to put things back right. We can't have this country falling into decay. We can't have this Islamisation of our nation, this great United Kingdom of ours. We can't allow it, people. We cannot. I'm looking at you all out there. I don't know if you're listening to me. I hope you are. Really, if there was a time for action, a time to come together, stop the squabbling, time to unite against the evil out there who's causing all these problems. It's our politicians. They lead what's going on. Whatever is going on across this country with children, it's the politicians that allow it. Don't ever forget that. All the councillors out there, filling out little forms. Yes, you can have your mosque, Muhammad. Oh, of course you can. Oh, no, no. Well, we're not building a mosque there. I've had that. I've heard that this week in Ipswich. The mulberry bush. We hear it all over the country. I'm not the only person I'm talking about. There's thousands of us who speak up against it. But it still continues, because they're allowed to continue, because they're councillors. They're better than us. We speak for the people. No, they don't speak for the people, because they have been listening to what we've been bloody telling them. They've gone on a rant. There's more to come.
Well,
take a bit of breath in it,
you know. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And we're going to need you to read out that thing from the EDL here in a few minutes. But I just want to make some observations myself. I'm seeing it over here in the United States, just the total lack of even acting like they're listening to the people. When I was reading that story, Jeff, the biggest impression I got was that There wasn't one mention in there. There was plenty of mentions of the EU Parliament. There was plenty of mentions of other countries and all these one-worlders and people like that. There's plenty of mentions of Parliament. Not one reference in there to the 17.5 million people in the UK that voted for Brexit. Not one mention of it. And now it's going to be delayed for 3 months. And, okay, this
what
this
I think it's
going
to be. And they're thinking, and they think that they can do it through politics, that they'll waste their time. In the end, it won't be just to be Brexit in name. Unfortunately for them, the people have had enough of what they've got to say, and it's time for the people. And they don't even get that yet. Maybe they do. Maybe that's why they got the extra rubber bullets on the, you know, for the police this and the other.
Well, maybe so, maybe so.
But Dave, please continue, buddy.
Brexit in name. That acronym spells BIN, and that's exactly where the people want to throw all this nonsense that's coming out of Parliament, who should have never gotten their fingers into this in the first place. They didn't want it. And this is my theory, Jeff, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see how you and Jan both feel about it. This is Theresa May's third attempt to get her quote-unquote deal through, which, as you said, will be Brexit in name only. You know, I call it BINO. And she has to know they're not going to vote for it. And if they don't vote for it, she's going to ask the European Parliament, can we please delay Brexit for, you know, up to 2 years, maybe longer, who knows, until we can decide what we want to do. Bitch, they already decided what they wanted to do. Your own people decided what they wanted to do. They want out. They voted leave. You're a Remainer. You lost. Your own party, your own conservative party, said in their platform that no deal is better than a bad deal. And what are you doing? You're betraying your party's platform. You're betraying your party. You're betraying conservatism. And worst of all, you're betraying the people. And you think that that you can possibly have a legacy of a Margaret Thatcher? Please. No way, lady. No way, whatsoever.
She's like a sell-by date of an old toilet brush that's been used over and over again. So I mean, Tommy got rid of it, even flushed it away. She'll go down as the worst promise that this country's ever known. To think that going against the Constitution, a democratic Constitution for hundreds of years, the last time that Constitution was... affected like that, and that was what many times I talked about, Cromwellian times. That's when it was called upon, and once again we live in that time. This time there is a modern day Cromwellian time. Unbeknown to them, that we, the people, are not going to accept what she or any of the politicians have got to tell us anymore. And the ballots. Forget ballots now. People voting. Guys, you want to vote for these people. These people who bend you over and stuff you up the backside and laugh at you, because that's what they're doing. They're laughing at you. They think they're the Jolly Boys Club, and we are just ordinary working class people. And we don't mean any. It means nothing. We don't mean nothing, and they don't care about it. So why they don't care about the kids that's going, that's being destroyed up and down our country.
Yeah.
They don't
of course
care.
They don't.
Look at the BBC.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got a massive, great statue over there. The Catholic Church, you know, got rid of this guy with all his statues because he was a paedophile. Not just was he an ordinary paedophile, he was into bestiality. He'd raped his own daughters, for goodness sake. He was absolutely despicable. But the BBC, after all this, decided they want to keep his statue above their studios in London. So what are we talking about? Raging paedophilic things going across this nation, going across in the United States, anywhere in the free world. We've got people like ours, what's ruling the ruling class, Dave, don't you know? Don't you know?
Yes. This old chap, I know, yes indeed.
Yes. Uh-huh. Don't you know? The natives are rather restless than they do. Put some more buckshot in the gun for me, old chap.
Yeah, exactly.
Pass the gin bottle to me. We'll do fine. Staff them,
yeah,
mate. Staff them. We're done with them.
They will do fine, Jeff, and they'll do fine just like you know, the Democrats here in the United States and the Rhino Republicans. They'll do fine just like them, because you know why? Because they'll be behind walls, just as our president Donald Trump said, they'll be behind walls and gates and guards, and the people won't. And they don't care. They stopped caring a long time ago. And now it's just out in the open,
no,
man.
You can't go against what he said. He was bang on. They're all right. They're all gated up. They're all protected. They got bodyguards. All trying to take your guns away, but they want to keep their bodyguards with guns to guard them. Typical hypocrites. The lot of them, aren't they, Dave? Hypocrites.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. On both sides of the pond. You know, Jeff, this is something that this gets me, man. There is, you know, I was telling BZ about this, guys. BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon. Listen to his show for May the 5th. You know, you may want to go on his Facebook page and listen to it there, because audio is kind of buggered on Spreaker. But, you know, I was telling him that there is a commonality among patriots and among people, now that's growing among, you know, in the United States and in the UK. And it's more than just us, man. You know, it's going on in Australia. It's going on in the Visegrad countries, man. It's going on in places like Denmark. There is an uprising of people, and at the same time, you have I'm going to say it, okay? Yeah, I know, folks. You know, you don't want me to go on a religious rant. I'm not going to go on a religious rant, but I'm just going to say this: at the same time that the people are rising up and demanding their own self-rule, you have demonic agents of Satan, and that's all you can call those politicians, rising up and saying, no, we know better than you. You will listen to us, or we will hurt you. You will listen to us, or we will take your children away. We will listen to us, or we'll make sure you lose your job. You will listen to us, or we'll make sure you don't have any government benefits. You will listen to us, or we will find a way to assassinate you, to take you out, either just
to
openly
make you
or
disappear, Dave. That's
in
what they
prison.
Them do.
Disappear
make
you, yes.
Disappear.
That's them. That's them, man. That's them. And
I think
that's what
I'm saying.
I
do think we're scared of them, Dave. We know what they do. We've known it. We've all this crap about the Russians had a dirty sort of a weapon that was used in Salisbury. We know who's behind it all. It was our own bloody government trying to start a war with Russia. Who's going to win there, eh? Who's going to win there? A nuclear confrontation with Russia. We'd be totally annihilated, and so would they. Would they think we're stupid or something? But they do. They do think they're trying to blame the Russians. I'll tell you what we saw right through it, didn't we, Dave? We saw right through it.
Well, yeah, they're the best. Did. They're the best for distractions, Jeff, and that's what they're trying to do instead of talking about, you know, media corruption, you know this, instead of talking about the issues that are important to the people. We have that going on over here. You know, I was looking at you know, the fake stream media, looking and seeing what they're talking about. Ooh, college cheating scandal. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah,
they
who
are
cares?
About that,
We've got legislation in the pipeline here that would allow someone who just didn't like somebody who was a gun owner to call the police and then have their guns taken away. Okay, that's the real stuff. That's what's really important.
Yeah.
That's what everybody should be talking about. Instead of that, they're talking about mess and garbage and stuff like that. And it's the same in the UK. You guys get these stories distracting you. Oh, this celebrity said this, and this celebrity did that, and look at this celebrity's boobs.
It's supposed to be the smoke screen while things are going on behind your back. That's what's supposed to be, Dave. This is how they call the smog of war. While you're looking at your left hand, the right hand is doing something totally different, and that is what they've been doing as well. That's what I mean. I'm talking not just ourselves over here, Dave, but yourselves in the United States, what they're trying to do over there as well. Because they're all in collusion together. I think we know that, don't we, Dave? They're in cahoots together.
Yeah, let me tell you something, man. Fake, it's fake people faking up fake issues to fake the people out. You know, but guess what?
To fake them all, Dave. Fake them all, mate.
Yeah, fake them all. But the people are not stupid. We understand what the important issues are. And that is because we have great shows like, all the stuff that's on RZ's network and the stuff that's on SHR Media and the Western Free Radio Network. The Exceptional Conservative Network.
Do it again. Do that again.
I'm doing it, man. I'm doing it. The Exceptional Conservative Network. All these great places where they can go. And the ratings, Jeff, I know over here, the ratings for...
This is all free as well. When we advertise to other people out there, this is all free, guys. We don't ask you for money for it, do we, Dave? We just don't, you know.
We're just good guys.
We're great patriots. And we love you all, guys, you know. And we'll give you as much free advertisement as you want. Don't worry me at all. Because I love you all,
know,
guys.
Jeff, even some
I'm
of the,
a good
even
guy,
some
not Dave.
Yeah, oh yeah, you are, Jeff. Even some of the really good ones like Mark Levin and some of the rest of them, you know, they get paid for the shows they do. Jeff and me and Jan and sometimes Leslie when she can come on, we don't get paid squat. We're doing this as volunteers because we love our country.
Well, come on, Dave. You do get a bag of peanuts off me once a year, you, Jan, and Leslie Ann. You do know that, don't you? Okay, it might be once a year.
I do raise a biscuit bin, Jeff. I will say that. You know, I always get to talk biscuits. Tell me. But the thing is, you get that solid with us, man. You know, all the time you guys are listening to us, you're hearing us and you're not hearing commercials and things.
Us. I mean, if we would say we was advertising, Dave, if we was you can have these referral things where you play adverts on your show and they give you a bit of funding or give you a bit of money. I can't be dealing with all that. I can't be dealing with that. You know what I mean, Dave? It's all, advertising for advertising's being. And, I like to know that what we do, this show here, is with that advertising. Well, if we want to play music or anything like that, we can. We can have a great talk shows like me and Dave does. Or we could play a bit of music now and again. It depends on our mood. It depends what's going on out there. It depends on the seriousness of what's going on around us. Sometimes it's very serious because we are.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
What we talk about, guys, is life and death. It's life and death,
true.
You know.
It is.
Oh, Jeff, you are being a bit extreme. With you. No, I'm talking about it in a real way. Because what's going on across my country, what's going on across this country, sorry, Dan, when I say my country, you are part of our set, what we do. But what we see that's going on across this country, and that's the reason why we got a demonstration at Wellington, as Dave was saying, it's not too far from Telford. Because of all this rape jihadi, human trafficking gangs out there. And that's what's I'll win it in a second, Dave. I will. I just got message, old buddy. as I say, we've got this demonstration that's coming up Wellington. As you say, which isn't too far, is it, Dave? It's not too far from... as the crow flies, I mean, I don't know any miles. I don't think I've been to Wellington. I'll be honest with you, Dave. You know, I've lived here all my life. And there are places that I've never visited. I've never been to Wales, Dave. I've never been to Scotland. You know, this country, that's part of my heritage and everything. I've never been there.
You're going to have to go off and visit Jan sometime, Jeff, you know.
It's a little bit difficult. You know, travelling around these days, Dave.
Sure.
Just wish I was a bit younger and I had a bit more health. I'd love to be travelling up and down the country. You know, it's just unfortunate that time's caught up with me a little bit. But I'm not, as I say, Dave, I am now listening. I want you all to know that over the last few days, I've still got issues with my leg. I've had that playing up over a week now, but I think it's just starting to ease up a little bit now. My breathing issues has really improved. Okay, guys.
And that is
excellent
news.
And it was quite worrying, wasn't it, a while ago? And I've got to let everybody know.
Oh, yeah, man.
I think Dave was quite concerned, and Jan, and all my friends, my family. I've come through that. Well, I've got this air thing that I use, and I'm not going to advertise it, but it's really, really good, and it's been helping me, and it's really improved my breathing ability, so I'm gasping for air, this, that, and the other. And this has been going on for about over a week now. Every day, I sort of woke up and I've said a little prayer. I thought, I feel bad today. I'm feeling better. I'm doing more things around the house, doing this, that, and the other. So, yeah, maybe that's it. I mean, if it's not too damp, when it's damp, that's when I think that problem does tend to hit a bit. But anyway, I'm wandering off the track a little bit. And we want to take our break in a second, don't we, buddy?
Yeah, well, Jeff, that's it. You know, you were saying with it that some, you know, we play music for various reasons. And one reason we play music is because it's time for a break. And we're gonna grab one of those and come back. And Jeff's going to read a statement put out by the EDL involving the demonstration coming up. And guys, if you want to stay tuned, we've got a great song here that's about, it's just under 3.5 minutes long. And I think it's quite apropos, brother. So Jeff is going to call back in and take care of that. And we're going to take care of this. Please stay tuned, everybody, for the second half of the English Defense League radio show.
And of course, that was the mighty EDL by our very own Alex and the Bandits. Our dear Alex Clowes, God bless you, Alex.
Amen, brother.
Welcome back. guys. Welcome back to the second half of the English Defence League radio show with my my wingman and my panelist this evening, Dave Agador Milner.
Hi there.
You give me? Oh, yeah. I'll just check. Just to let you know, as I was listening to the tune now, as you do, I just pop out of the room for a second and just listening, and I thought, I don't know how many times I've heard the Edel mentioned this week. Seems every day people are talking or saying it in, they might be having a conversation. Mm-hmm. The Edel gets brought into a conversation somewhere along the line, I think.
It just
goes to show you how we become, even though the mainstream don't know it, we're mainstream. The EDL is the one that they didn't want to talk about. We never get seen doing, you never see the mainstream media ever video. And as even when we walked over Tower Bridge that time, and there was thousands of us. So the police had to block the road off so that we could walk across the bridge because there were so many of us. And there was no BBC, there was no ITV, there was no Sky, there was nothing, as though we didn't exist. It's simply because they think that's the best way not to let people know, because we only encourage them. Ah, didn't work though, did it, eh? The world follow what we do. The EDL, okay, you don't see quite as many people on the streets as you used to. But I think there's coming a time where you're going to see more people coming back and doing what we've always done. You know, the EDL, the flagship of everything that started. All these other groups out there, this, that and the other. Where do you think it all started, eh? Where do you think it all started from? Because they wasn't going along with the way things should be. Some of them hated upon, you know, they were the Nazis, the ones that we got rid of. The ones who totally despised us because we, you know, the word diversity, because we welcomed anybody.
Exactly, that's why they still don't like us.
You know, we
and the feeling's mutual.
It became, that is the reason why sometimes we had issues, because people would plant these maggots. These left-wing maggots who would throw up a Nazi sign, just wait for the cameras to catch them. How many times we saw that? That's
and that was probably collusion right there, Jeff.
It hasn't fazed the real people. They've seen through it. And a lot of people probably talk about, oh, that's not very nice. Oh, no. But when they start to realise that all that we've been talking about, what Tommy Robinson was saying for years, what we've always said for years, is the truth, that's when people listen. That's why people will listen to us now. That's why people listen to myself. That's why people listen to Dave. That's why people listen to Tommy. Look at Tommy. He goes live, mate. He's got 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 100,000. It's manic, man, when he goes. So it just goes to show
is,
you.
Yeah.
People like listening to the truth. The truth is such a powerful weapon to have. All the guns, the bullets. The truth hurts a lot more than I reckon a bullet does. If you use the truth in a positive way, like we've always, in the end, we always prevail. We always prevail.
It's the most potent weapon of all, brother. And Jeff, well, people, Jeff has a statement from the EDL regarding the demonstration that's coming up. And he's going to read it, Jeff. It's not too long. If you haven't wind up having an issue, I'll jump in, man. You know, because you know I got your back. But Jeff's going to read this. Jeff is going to read this statement from the English Defense League guys about the demonstration. Jeff.
There you go. Is this where it says recent posts, Dave? Yeah.
No, Jeff. Okay. Jeff, it'll be in your Skype, brother. It'll be in your Skype. I gave it to you in your Skype. The title of it is "Demo: Our Return to Wellington."
Yeah, that's what I've got. I've got that in front of me.
Okay. That's fine.
It's just it was in the column to the right. So I'm just looking down there. So okay, demo: Our Return to Wellington, APPG. On British Muslims, Islamophobia defined. Worcester demo, Oh, hang on, that's not right, is it? Hang on. Something's gone wrong.
No, Jeff, it should be under the big picture that's in there on that page. Do you see the big picture?
Oh, the title of the shot, yeah, that one there.
Okay. Yeah, that one, Jeff. Yes, right there.
The title of Shropshire Star article and the start of the problem, yeah? Is that the one?
Yeah, that's right. That's the one.
It says multi-faith anti-racism event to run in tandem with Wellington EDL March. Well, the English Defence League is anti-racist and also has been opposed to any sort of racism and anti-Semitism. The EDL is also multi-faith. Supporters and participants are of many faiths and none. We do not discriminate for or against faith groups. They produce this headline as it is in opposition to the aims of our organisation and the purpose of our demonstration at Wellington on Saturday. The article quotes the group who wants us to stop our demonstration and who proudly says, "Buts!" Notice the buts, yeah. This is the line tyrants and fascists have always used to bully and intimidate anyone they disagree with. That is exactly what happened last year. Along with a host of broken promises by the police, who had agreed to support our right to demonstrate peacefully in the town square, give a few speeches and then leave. Once again, these self-appointed local leaders, politicians, activists, all sorts, and church people want us to stay away and not deliver our messages of the problems of Islam and the Muslim rape gangs that have been plagued the country, this country, and various towns in northern England for years, including Wellington. The joint statement signed by the Muslim and the Christian leaders says the march would not provide answers for victims of survivors of CSE, child sexual exploitation. And they know this. How? Let me see. Just let me run down this this page. I haven't got too much to read there. And how? There have been hundreds of Muslim men convicted of child sexual abuse of English girls. A few of these hundred are listed here. And there is a website. It's www.englishdefenseleague.org .org UK /Islam /grooming -gangs. Just check that out, guys, okay? What will these multi-faith delusionists in Wellington be doing to prevent hundreds more of our girls falling foul of these predators? What are their proposals? All these religious leaders and the other groups opposing our freedom and right to demonstrate speak about the inherent misogyny found in Islam? Will they speak up for the thousands of underaged white girls raped, groomed, and exploited by Muslim rape gangs throughout the country for years and years? They will not. But we will. And our reason we continue to do so is because community leaders like the Wellington Group do nothing. That was a statement from the EDL. I like the passing back to you, Dave. Well put together, guys. So I'm not sure who put it together, but absolutely well done. Very, very proud of you all, guys. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, works best when I unmute my microphone. Yeah, Jeff, the only thing that I would add to that is that it's not, you know, it says white girls. It's not about skin color. It's non-Muslim girls. This is happening to girls of every skin color and boys of every skin color, that are not Muslims. They're
not Sikh girls as well.
They're
not saying that because we know that.
Exactly.
That's been happening in Luton, actually, with Sikh girls as well.
You've got Christians, you've got Sikhs, you've got, you know, if they're not Muslim, it doesn't matter what their skin color is. You know, so I don't want to hear anybody, you know, going, oh, well, you're a bunch of racists because you're talking about white people. No, that's not what they're talking about. What they're talking about is the fact that it's non-Muslim children that are being attacked. That's what they're talking about here. That's what the demonstration is for. It's so that they can have a voice, because right now they don't have one. Right now all they've got is police who are often on the take, and a legal system, many of whose people are often
on the
take.
Participating in some of the evil
or participating, yeah.
And we've got hundreds of cases. That's why I'm interrupting, because I'm just going to say that there's hundreds of cases of the so-called people who are supposed to protect you, the police, are a part of these crimes that's going on. So I just wanted, sorry to go over the top of your head, Dave.
I just
want to clarify that is the case.
No, you're right, Jeff. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hundreds
sorry,
of cases.
Go ahead,
and these are supposed to be law enforcement officers. They're supposed to be there to protect the children, and yet they're either participating in it or they're looking the other way. Either way, they aren't law enforcement officers. I support law enforcement officers. These are pigs in uniform. Okay, they're a joke, and they're a danger to the community when they do things like that.
And they take all the time, though. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, that's why I said they're on the take. You know, that's what that means in American is that they're taking bribes. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And that's why the EDL is there. And I want to say, you know, before we hit this next thing, because this is an important deal and we're going to talk about it. You know, church leaders, Christians, okay, you guys really need to study your Bible, because you are not Daniel. Don't even, you know, when you get up in the pulpit on Sunday, don't even talk about Daniel. Don't even talk about people who sacrificed themselves for their belief in God and in Jesus, because you're not doing it. No, you're not Daniel. You're more
they're
like
just
a Pharisee.
Pure hypocrite. Let's call them out, Dave. Call them out. What are they, mate? Hypocrites.
False.
And they're just as bad. They're probably involved with
false.
A lot that goes on as well.
Sorry,
Dave.
Prophets.
Go ahead, buddy.
Jeff, false prophets, guys, you know, to these quote-unquote Christian leaders, false prophets. And if you study your Bible, you know what's going to happen to false prophets when you go to meet your maker. The Lord isn't going to go, well, I understand you were just being politically correct. Trust me, you're going to be, you know, I hope you like it warm, because you're going to be in a warm place. Now, Jeff.
Well, I mean, when they try to bring in Chrislam, I mean, when they're trying to absolutely blaspheme against the faith. Of course, there's no place but the pits of hell for that type of people, because that is totally blaspheming, Dave. When you try an evil ideology like this cult of death of Islam, and then you try to mix it with Christianity and call it Chrislam,
it's
not going to happen. Jen's talking about it. We've had Jen on this. She talked about that. She talked about that. She's like us. She gets really angry when they try to mix faiths like that. It's not going to happen.
We're not going to be
the same as us. They cannot stand Christianity to them. They don't believe it. I know.
Well,
Dave, I don't know how many times you talk to a Muslim, but I'll tell you what, mate. I've been engaged with them a lot over the years. Like, I don't do it so much lately, but I used to engage with them a lot. And there's something that they're totally, they just don't believe in the crucifixion. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the second, or nothing like that. They don't believe Jesus Christ was crucified. They believe it was a Muslim. And that's what I was told on numerous occasions. He was taken by a Muslim.
They've even preached that in Christian churches. They've even preached that in Christian churches.
And something else which I found was totally blasphemy, which I used to find it hard to control, is when they said, oh, I don't know how your Father in heaven, God, could send his only son down to let him be murdered on a cross or on a stick and things like that. Now, that used to infuriate me, but with the grace of God, when I controlled my temper so that I could really get a few points over to them. That was some of the things, ladies and gentlemen, over the years, a lot of us have engaged with the enemy, because they are the enemy. They had no illusion. They might talk you all lovely-jubbly, oh, you're a really nice guy, yeah. Come the time, and the place, and the numbers, your friend will be turning into your own, very own personal executioner. For yourself, your family, your children, your cats, your dogs, your birds that you like keep, parrots. And then, do you know when they're doing that? They'll keep you to last. They'll have you sorted there that you've got to watch. You've got to watch your wife being raped continuously. And then, been beheaded in front of you. They'll do it very slowly. Yeah? They'll do that. And then they'll do it to your children. They'll make your children scream. They'll really torture them. Then they'll kill you. Open your cat and your dogs up. Let them bleed out. And cut their throats. That is the real Islam. That is the cult of Islam with its true face.
Of course, I'm bitter.
I'm bitter because I know it's a fact. Over the years, Doug, I remember a family that was, they was very much to speak out against Islam. The whole family. This was in your part of the world, Dave. Was annihilated. The whole family murdered because they wanted to talk out and they thought that they could befriend them. And unfortunately for them, They was murdered. Every single was murdered. The husband, the wife, the children.
Oh, of course,
remember,
Jeff. Well, Jeff, that's the way.
Back,
Yeah, that's the way they are. Now, Jeff, I want to pivot to something else here. We have just enough time to do this. Now, everybody knows that Tommy Robinson is involved in a lawsuit right now against quote unquote police who who basically threw him and his family out of a pub when they were just watching a football match, or what we call Americans a soccer match. Okay, they threw him out of the, and they didn't just throw him out of the pub; they ran him out of town while Tommy Robinson's children were crying. It was one of the most shameful things I've ever seen anybody who pretends to wear a badge do. It was horrible.
Right now, Jeff,
what we've got here right now is Tommy Robinson is suing the Cambridgeshire Police Constabulary. I didn't want to try and say it all together and mess that up, but he's suing them. And the trial is being covered by people like Ezra Levant of the Rebel Media. Now, this is going to last about close to 12 minutes, Jeff. I'm going to go ahead and play this, and this should be the last item that we do for the show, brother.
Okay,
And this will show you the depth. This will show you where free speech in the UK is at now. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, guys. Listen to this carefully. This is Ezra Levant of the Rebel Media.
For the Rebel.media, I'm Ezra Levant. I am in Peterborough. We're not quite at the county court. We stepped in off the street because it was so windy. I've been inside the courtroom live-tweeting the case of Tommy Robinson versus the Cambridgeshire police. He's suing them for harassment about a spectacular incident that Tommy caught on his own cell phone a couple of years ago when he was out with his kids to watch a football game in Cambridgeshire, and he was at a restaurant. He'd been there all day with his kids. He was watching the football game on TV. The kids were playing. And the police came in, ordered him to leave, threatened him with arrest if they didn't. And even when he left, they frog marched him to the railway station and videoed him down the way. It's incredible. And the only reason we know about it is because Tommy uploaded it to the internet. Well, we had various police witnesses today, including a police officer who followed them down the road to the railway station with a handycam. Tommy made a big point about saying, where is that video footage? It will prove everything I've said, including my own daughter, Tommy said, who ran off into the street and almost got hit by a vehicle. Well, the officer who took the handycam photo had a very interesting testimony. He said that he did not keep the footage. He was asked about it. He said that he didn't think it was newsworthy or noteworthy, or it was anything to think about at all. So he deleted it, and he didn't even know when he deleted it. He suggested he may have deleted it the very next day, even though he said there are certain circumstances where such evidence has to be kept for a minimum of 28 days, or even, he said, as long as 100 years. That was interesting to me. We heard a lot more about policing and how the football police are a specialized task force to go after what they call football hooligans, basically fans who go from town to town following their favorite teams. They get drunk and they fight against other fans. But what we heard again and again is that the indicia by which they would arrest such a person, drunkenness, a known risk, they call such people risk supporters, Tommy didn't meet those criteria. Tommy was not drinking. It was a family day. Tommy was not labeled a risk supporter. So there was some very interesting cross-examination by Tommy's lawyer asking the police officer, why did you arrest Tommy if he didn't meet these standards? It was very interesting. There was a surprising development today, and it was that I myself became part of the conversation in court. Not on purpose, I can assure you. But, of course, I came to Peterborough to live tweet this. That's why I'm here. I believe in justice. I believe in Tommy's suit. I believe in Tommy's a friend. Viewers crowdfunded to have me here. So I was doing what I always do, tweet with my opinions. I did it at the Old Bailey when Tommy was had his hearings there. I did it at the Royal Courts of Justice in front of no one less than the Lord Chief Justice of Great Britain and of England and Wales himself. So, I've live tweeted many times from the UK, and I thought I was doing the same thing here. But the judge specifically asked me not to tweet commentary, just to tweet exactly what was said. I would use the word stenography. She didn't use that word, but that's what I think journalism is without commentary. It's just, okay, he said this, she said that. And I'm doing a fair bit of that. But the judge was quite adamant about it, and I apologized and said, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to get off side with you, Your Honor. It's your judge. You're the judge. This is your court. I don't want to do anything offside. And I thought I corrected my florid language. But then after the trial, the judge invited me back into court. I mean, actually, one of the lawyers did. And the lawyers and the judge and the clerks were there. And the judge had another conversation with me. And she made it clear, no opinion commentary at all about the goings-on in the case, not only not in the court, but not outside the court, like not even here in this room, not even after the trial is over, but before the judgment. So the judge said no more commentary on the case, no more characterizations of the testimony until she herself gives her ruling. Now, that may come quite quickly. That may come at the end of the week, but and listen, this is not my fight to fight. I'm used to a more robust press. I'm used to journalists having the right to call it like they see it. I mean, in Canada, we have the very famous journalist Christy Blatchford, who has a uproarious coverage of court cases, and they're very well read. I understand from some of the Tommy's own contempt of court cases the worry about corrupting a jury, but there's no jury in this trial. The judge also referred to intimidating witnesses. I had asked a question of some of the police officers when I saw them outside. They didn't answer me, but that was apparently an intimidating, they felt intimidated by me. So I guess that's my way of saying that the judge said, stop doing what you're doing. Stop providing opinion commentary, either in the court or outside the court, until the ruling is entered. And so I want to let you know this, so if you've seen my reporting over the next day and a half or 2 days, you'll understand why the flavor's out of it. It's vanilla, not Tabasco. I'll still continue to live tweet, but I won't give my thoughts on things, which I should tell you is very unlike me. But it was made clear to me that if I persist in giving my commentaries, the judge would probably hold me in contempt. I mean, she didn't say as much, but that was my understanding of it. I should tell you that I have therefore decided to temporarily delete 5 tweets that I made. And I talked to the judge about the ones I would delete. Now, I have saved an image of them, and I may choose to put them up after the trial is done. I thought one of them was a funny joke. I understand her criticisms of the others, and it's not for me to agree or disagree. It's not my court. It's her court. It's not my country. It's her country. I think I've learned a little bit more about the UK. I've learned a little bit more about contempt of court law in the UK, and I think there's a problem here in the UK. I think that it is not quite as free as it should be. And I think that citizens don't quite have the access to open justice that they should. But I say this as a foreigner, a tourist here. I have no real business in the UK. I mean, we have a lot of UK supporters. But it's not for me to lead the charge for free speech in terms of what you can live tweet from a British court. I just don't think that's my fight. I think that's the fight for Brits to do. And I don't want to be the guinea pig test case. I don't want to be held in contempt, and I don't want to be thrown in jail. I mean, obviously that wouldn't happen in this case, but it happened to Tommy. And so that's my report on the day. I don't think I gave you a particularly strong opinion on what I said in court. At least I certainly tried not to. I'm not even really giving you my opinion about what the judge said. The judge said what she said. And I said, let me know if there's anything in particular you want me to take down. I suggested 5 particular tweets, and I have since taken them down. There are 2 videos that I previously recorded that I have now taken off of YouTube until the trial is over. And I think I'll put them back when the verdict is up because I think they were useful commentary. I just find it, frankly, a little sad to learn from this judge who surely knows where the line of free speech and where the line of deference is. There is no jury here that could be have their minds altered. I, in my heart, don't believe I was intimidating the 3 burly policemen because I asked them a question. But it's not for me to decide. It's not my opinion. It's a judge whose courtroom I was in. I am not a citizen. I am an interloper, and surely I should defer to the local custom. If I was in Iran, I would defer to the local custom. If I was at the Vatican, I would defer to the local custom. Those are strong cultures and customs. Here I am in the UK. I seem to have been mistaken about free speech in the UK, and so I am corrected. I'll have a lot more to say about matters once the judgment is rendered. But until then, I should say that although my own interactions with the court really had nothing to do with Tommy's case, they were probably the greatest eye-opener of my trip here. And I have to say, my biggest feeling is one of sadness. I was sitting next to another journalist for a local newspaper, pretty good guy, obviously doesn't share my politics. And I just kept sitting with him, and I don't want to characterize what he says, but he says, yeah, here in the UK, we just pretty much write it. Well, listen, I know that there's some spectacular cases that some of the tabloids have strong opinions on, but I just wish that the journalist who was sitting next to me was a little bit more revved up about the fact that you can't offer an opinion on a court case that's ongoing. I suppose his reaction, or lack thereof, was what really made me sad. And I'm quite certain, I haven't checked Twitter yet or other feedback, but I am quite certain that the uniform response from the mainstream media will be one of jubilation that I have had my wings clipped or my tongue tied. And I suppose I have, although when the verdict is out, when the judgment is out, I'll surely speak freely then. But the fact that Brits would cheer the lack of free speech for Brits, the fact that journalists couldn't care, in fact, there were journalists waiting for me after the court, they had been tipped off that I was speaking too freely. That's the saddest part of my trip, is that Fleet Street, which to me was synonymous with the bold newspapers, that the United Kingdom, the home of the Magna Carta, of John Milton's Areopagitica, of the free speech movement, really isn't anymore. And I'm not even mad at the judge. How could I be? It's her court. More to the point, I think she's probably accurately expressing the law. There needs to be law reform in the UK. I just don't know if anyone's up for it. Let me close by saying to my friends in Canada and the United States, realize the unique freedoms you have, especially Americans with your First Amendment, and hold on to them. In the UK, I don't think they have. For the Rebel.media, I'm Ezra Levant. I'm here in Peterborough, UK, covering Tommy Robinson's case as best I can, subject to the restrictions that the judge has made clear to me for my live tweeting. I'll do my best to follow those rules because I seek no quarrel with her. I just wish they had a bit more free speech in the United Kingdom. For all of my reports, go to TommyTrial.com.
There you are, Jeff, and there you are, listeners. Yeah.
What can you say about that? Was he the only one? I was just wondering, was he picked out for the reason because he's Tommy's friend? Allegiance to Tommy? Is it something to do? It seems all the other media that was there, the press there, that they wasn't interested in him, but they pinpointed Ezra. Ezra was probably pointed out. He's from Rebel Media. Might have a word with that man about his restricting his Twitters. Yes, I think can we bring him in? Yes, you're right. It's whatever they call it, like, you know. So I do believe because he's Tommy's friend, colleague, you know, citizen journalist, whatever you want to call Ezra, which I think he's an awesome gentleman, really, really great, a great guy, and he's been a friend of Tommy's since he was working for Rebel Media, since Tommy's working for Rebel Media. But, you know, what got me about that, and I heard it in his voice, how sad he felt, with the love that he's got for this country, Ezra, to find that he's living in at this time now of tyrannical things that's going on. Freedom of speech being crushed. And he's seen it. And that's what I think he was so sad about, Dave. You know, and it is. If you come over and you look towards these things and the history, it's romantic, the history you think of this old country. An old country, isn't it? An old country. A little island of ours with so much history. And to think that in a short matter of time, we've become like a banana republic. You're a bit like one of these Congo tribes out there with the way that things are going on. And it's still the ruling class that rule over us, and they're better than us. It's all coming to an end for them, and they don't even realise it, that they are creating their own death throes. But, Dave, I'd like to pass it back to you, because what a great gentleman he is. And I do feel sorry for us. I felt how sad he was with because he'd been pulled up for being a journalist. I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable, buddy.
Well, yeah, Jeff. I mean, when we're younger, when I was younger, certainly, and it sounds like when Ezra Levant was younger as well, we had this idealized view of the press that they were somehow heroes, people who spoke the truth even when it was uncomfortable for the government to hear. They were supposed to be the watchdogs of the government. They were supposed to be the advocates of the people. And I'm not going to say a lot more, Jeff, because I don't want to prejudice this case, just in case.
We're not speaking about the case, we know it's in the proceeds, the third day of the case.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Dave.
We know that these comments might possibly be shared by members of the quote-unquote media out there with the judge, and we don't want to prejudice the case at all. But I will have things to say. And that will be after it's over with, Jeff. And I think you will, too. And Jan will, too, if she's with us.
Being us as sitting journalists and radio hosts, we know how we conduct ourselves. I mean, I know simply because of the way that the stringent things that's going on in the country, freedom of speech under attack, et cetera. Well, freedom of speech is dead.
And on this side of the pond, too, brother.
You still got a good fighting spirit, and we still got a good fighting spirit over here. But you know, it's not over till the fat lady sings, though. There's the old saying.
You better believe it.
I'm going to pass it back to you, Dave. what can I say? An absolutely awesome show tonight, as usual, Mr. Milner. You, my dear friend, my dear colleague, did an awesome job, and I know you had a few issues, and unbeknown to Dave, and then drop myself, I didn't know, and I let him know earlier that the Facebook was down, and so was Instagram, and we both didn't know until I found out earlier, and I thought I'd let Dave know, because it drives you mad when you're trying to do things, what we were trying to do, load things up on the bloody radio show, wouldn't it, Dave? But anyway, let me pass it back to you for your final thoughts for the evening, and God bless you, Dave, for what you did tonight.
Well, Jeff, I really didn't do that much. I just supplied a little bit of commentary. Man, you were the one that came up with a really excellent commentary there right at the first and things like that. You did a really good job. And, of course, Jan is always with us providing stories, things of that nature. So, you know, we always give a big salute to Jan. Love you, girl. And I just want to say to everybody, this is part of the final thoughts, please pray for Tommy Robinson, not only in this lawsuit case, but for him on the 22nd of this month when he goes back to possibly face prison, and hopefully he will emerge from there a free man. You know, so please pray up, guys, because he needs it. And you can visit tr.news and find out, guys, how you can help in other ways. That's all I'll say about that. And please check out The Unpleasant Blind Guy at Spreaker.com. That's through the SHR Media. And my show times are at 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday in the United States. And I have new shows on Saturdays at midnight right now. Doing the last of a series that Jeff and Jan and I all participated in on Brexit and a few other things. And there's a note of support in there for President Trump right at the start. So there'll be that to look forward to. And we'll just see what happens with next week. It's going to be interesting. Actually, next week is going to be a reprise a little bit of my appearance on BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon. Give that a listen, because we talk about Tommy Robinson and some other things as well. So, please give that a listen and a share, if you would, please. I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, and supporters of the cause and the patriots of the English Defense League, vaya con Dios, go with God when you go to Wellington and in your daily life. Be blessed and no surrender. Back to you, brother.
No surrender, Dave. And yes, all those travelling to Wellington, we wish you well. And I'll be looking for any video feeds. God bless you. No surrender, guys. I've got to go. I've got 41 seconds. So you take care. We'll see you Sunday. Cheers, guys.
Good night, Jeff.
I'm so happy. I can see that fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys again. I'm so happy. And
measure of the height. Me, I've been enough for any of my height. People might need some tension to relax. Me, I'm too busy dodging through the fracks. Me, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader to place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
And as I once say, the show was like a blur tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as myself and Dave has enjoyed presenting the show to you. Yes, I was very vexed with the Brexit situation, but we will prevail. No illusions about that. And of course, my thoughts and my prayers now go out to all our foot soldiers and angels and the supporters of the cause for this Saturday in Wellington. Just travel safe, brothers and sisters. I'll be thinking of you. And I'll be looking out. So anybody, please put some videos up there for me so I can put it on share on the Facebook pages so at least people can see what you're doing, guys. As you know, there's no one else. So, well, you could might have the... You might actually have an international, you know, media following you, because the BBC and all those don't want to, because they don't want to give us any coverage, because it just increases our numbers and people want to join us what we do, and that's why we do so well. So, yeah. But anyway, Dave, cheers, pal, as usual. Great work for your slides and the script for this evening is really, really appreciated. And so we'll be back again this Sunday. I will say we'll be having a debriefing of Telford. So hopefully, guys, if you listen to me, I want some stuff. I want to see exactly what went on. I want to know how the speeches went so me and Dave can talk about it and speak about the great speakers. So if we've got anything and you want to send it to us, please do. You know where we are. Please do it. Really, really appreciate it. So for myself and Dave and the team, that's our Jan. And of course, not to get our list and Stoke. We ain't seen him in a little while, but hopefully we'll be seeing her in the not too distant future. Great lady. And Jan and Leslie Ann's always got something not good to talk about, aren't they? And it's always lovely to hear them two ladies. So once again, we'll be back again this Sunday. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight, myself and Dave and our team. But we'll be back again this Sunday for the Telford debriefing. Cheers, guys. And just the last word, just be careful out there, guys. Okay? Just be careful. Be vigilant. Know your position. Know where you are, your surroundings. We live in dangerous times. So God bless you all. Stay safe, everybody. We'll see you Sunday. No surrender, ever.